Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by SoapEquipment.com. Did you know there was a company out there that could help you, whether you're a small manufacturer or a large manufacturer of cosmetics? SoapEquipment.com can help you make your products, expand your business, and grow without all the headaches. Find out more today at SoapEquipment.com. Well, you know, in this information age, we are bombarded by, guess what, information. And, of course, we need information so we can grow our businesses and make wise decisions, but sometimes the information that's being thrown at us can really get in the way of our ability to focus, plan, and grow in a way that really allows us to achieve. So what do? You know, you need the information. You need to be in a lot of different places at one time today, but you also need to remain focused. What do you do? Well, my guest on today's podcast has some answers for us. I'm very excited about sharing them with you. His name is Joe Calhoun, and he is the author of The 1-Hour Plan for Growth, How a Single Sheet of Paper Can Take Your Business to the Next Level. Joe Calhoun is a business strategist, author, and keynote speaker. In the past 25 years, he has worked with more than 500 organizations to develop leaders, improve organizational performance, and achieve business growth. And don't we all need that? Joe Calhoun, welcome to Indie Business Podcast.
It's my pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Donna Marie.
So, Joe, let's just, you know, hit hard and heavy right there on that that point of the need to focus. We're small business owners. Our listeners today are very small business owners. They're doing everything, and they're, you know, sometimes a little bit overwhelmed and can lose that focus. So tell us, Joe, our minds are frazzled right here as we tune into this show. What's the first thing we need to do to sort of rein ourselves in as we listen to you and put your suggestions to work?
Well, thank you. I think you're right. There's a lot of information for business owners that can make it very confusing. In fact, three Harvard PhDs got together, and they found that 220 management practices had been recommended in the best-selling books over the last 20 years. No wonder business people are so confused. No wonder they have, you know, so many balls up in the air and have a hard time focusing. So the three PhDs, Donna Marie, found that only eight really matter. There's only eight things, and four of them are essential. And out of the next four, as long as you're doing two of them, you're doing just fine. So they called it their 4+2. And really, the one most important thing that people need to do to grow a healthy, productive business is to have a clear, well-defined strategy. And it's part of a business plan. And 88% of businesses don't even have a plan. So if a person is going to grow a business, or if a person is going to get from here to Singapore or here to New York City or here to San Francisco, wherever they want to go in their life and their business, they need to have a clear destination and a clear plan with a clear strategy that says, here's where I am, here's where I'm going, and here's how I'm going to get from here to there. And again, 88% of businesses don't have a clear plan, and having a clear and compelling plan is the best predictor of whether a business will grow.
And, you know, it's interesting because we read a lot that the main reason why small businesses fail, or basically any businesses, is a lack of funding. And, of course, that can be a problem. But one of the things that you're saying is that no matter how much money you have, right, if you don't have a strategy, if you don't have a plan, your business is never going to maximize its potential.
You're absolutely right. And in fact, I saw studies recently that talked about how the funding issue might be overrated. In fact, they pointed out that many of the companies that had plenty of funding or even were overfunded were less successful than those that were underfunded. Take, for example, the dot-com bubble, you know, a decade ago. There were plenty of businesses that had plenty of money, and they lost lots of money, and many of them failed in dramatic fashion, lots of times businesses that have a plan, even if they are marginally funded, are going to do much better than a well-funded business without a plan.
And so as we're sitting here today, our listeners, some have plans, some don't have plans. Is the first thing that we really need to do is to kind of look at our plan if we have one and really kind of zero in on it. And if we don't have one, we need to sort of almost, is it an overstatement to say we have to kind of stop everything and focus on putting some sort of plan together?
Yeah, well, maybe they don't stop everything as the business is going on, but maybe they go home tonight or maybe take a weekend off or whenever they can take some time off and turn off all the other distractions in their life and answer the six fundamental questions that are essential for any plan. Most plans, frankly, are just too complicated. I saw a book the other day. It was the 14 steps of strategic planning, and one of the steps had 17 sub-steps. And, you know, that's just the way it is with too many people. They make this too complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. Any business, I've never seen a business that couldn't develop a plan in a very short period of time that answers the six fundamental questions. And, you know, that's what they should do, in my opinion, and the data supports that it really will help them grow a more productive, more profitable business, and they'll have more fun doing it.
Okay, well, we certainly want the productivity, the profitability, and most definitely the fun. So, Joe, can you walk us through generally those six fundamental questions?
Be glad to. So let's say, for example, that every business has a mountain to climb. That is the deepest aspirations that you have for your business. It's the deepest aspirations that your listeners have for their businesses. You know, what are they trying to do with this business? What are their highest hopes and aspirations? Apart from the daily grind of just going in and slugging it out and dealing with the crises that come our way, when you take the time, every one of us knows that there's something deep in our heart or deep, you know, in our mind that we want to achieve. Let's call that your mountain. So every business, every person has a mountain to climb. The first question that you have to ask yourself is, what's my mountain? Where am I going? What mountain am I trying to climb? And I remember years ago meeting a man who, to celebrate Earth Day in 1990, had a vision to climb Mount Everest. His vision was to put men and women from China, Russia, and the United States on the top of Mount Everest. And sure enough, because they developed a plan and executed a plan, they were able to do that. And it was a remarkable feat, but you can't accomplish incredible results without having a very clear vision of what it is you're trying to build. So step number one is, you know, to use the metaphor, what's your mountain? Or to be more practical, what are you trying to build? And that is, of course, called your vision. And, you know, it's very simple. You know, how good do you want to be at providing what to who? On what type of scale? And once you answer those sub-questions, you can create a vision statement. And in our new book that you mentioned, the one-hour plan for growth, we have a process that allows people to develop that in about 5 to 7 minutes.
So, Joe, let me ask you this. What mountain are you trying to climb, and what's your vision? Is that two separate steps, or is that one step combined?
Yeah, that's one step. So we have a vision to climb Mount Everest. That's the mountain we have to climb. That's our vision. It's the first question. What mountain are we trying to climb? What's our vision? You know, and that's where business starts. Business planning starts.
Okay, great.
Number two.
So once we know that, what's step two there?
Step two is, you know, a person, and in the order of these first two or three can be, you know, they don't necessarily have to be done in this order, but you definitely have to get clear about these first three. The second is, why are we climbing that mountain? What's our purpose? So, for example, back to my colleague who put men and women from Russia and China and the United States on the top of Mount Everest and returned them all safely without a single loss of life, which is remarkable considering that one out of three people at that time that were climbing Everest would lose their life. They had a purpose, and it was to celebrate our environment, to honor our environment, and to present the possibility of world peace through harmony and unity and understanding. So they had this very strong mission, which was to talk about the possibility of a greater peace in our world, and also to bring notice and recognition to the importance of our environment. So the purpose of a business ultimately, if I get away from that metaphor now, the mountain metaphor, is to provide something for our customers. So what we suggest for step number two is to very simply say, what is it that we do for our customers that makes us special? What is the ultimate benefit? What is the end result benefit that our customers receive from doing business with us? We call that a customer-centered mission statement. So there's lots of companies over time that have created these powerful mission statements, and a powerful mission statement is a statement, according to Peter Drucker, that's probably just 10 words or less. It's something mm-hmm. that can be explained very simply, and mm-hmm. it's something that people can remember, and it draws them back to a strong sense of, hey, why we exist. So, for example, an example of a mission statement. Maybe you see the scooter store advertised on TV. Their mission is providing freedom and independence to people with limited mobility. So they provide those scooters. The Darden Restaurant Group wants to nourish and delight everyone they serve. We can think about Google. They organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. These are very clear and compelling mission statements that tell why an organization exists.
Such incredible points. And so when you say, what's your purpose, a lot of people go, well, I just want to make money. So you're saying you absolutely must transcend that in this mission statement section.
Well, of course everybody wants to make money. I mean, but that isn't the purpose of your business. That's the end result of providing great service to a customer. So, for example, Cruise Holidays of Kansas City, creating memories that last a lifetime. Well, their 22-person staff has sold tens of thousands of world vacations, and because they have a mission of creating memories that last a lifetime, they've been able to be the number one cruise holiday franchise for, about 18 of the last 20 years, and obviously make lots of money doing it because they have a very clear mission statement. If your mission is just to make money, I would suggest that you go be a counterfeiter because it's more efficient to just make money through counterfeiting than it is to try to get a team turned out about making money. That's not going to turn people on. What's going to turn people on is providing some kind of value to your customer that results in making money. Now you have a business model that'll really work, a mission statement that'll really be useful for your company.
Such excellent points. So we're asking ourselves, what's our vision, what's our mission, and then, Joe, what is step number three?
That's right. And these all work together. The third step is very important. It's how are we going to treat each other, and what are our standards of conduct that will allow our team to enjoy working together? These are called your values. So when we're climbing up the mountain, how do we treat each other? When we're achieving our vision and our mission, how do we treat each other? And these value statements are very, very powerful. This is the code of conduct, again, that allows people to enjoy the process of working together. Things like integrity, respect, teamwork, dedication, and fun. These are the values, for example, of Cruise Ship Centers International. A smaller company, a marketing company called J. Schmidt, their values are focused, friendly, fun, and fair. Even Southwest Airlines has, very clear statement of their values. It's how they commit to treat each other and how they agree to treat their customers. And these are the standards that allow you to hire people, promote people, or even fire people if they don't live up to your value system.
Joe, when you are just starting your business and you don't have a team yet in a formal sense, it's just you and maybe people who help you, but no real formalized team, can you share why it's still important to behave as though you do have a team and to have core values implemented in your business even before you start expanding and hiring people?
Well, absolutely. Values are the way that you commit to treat your customers. So there are about 21 million solopreneurs, individuals who are just single business operators in our country. You know, just kind of FYI, there's another 6 million businesses in the country that have employees. But so you know there's three times as many businesses out there that are just single operators like you described. Those people are going to become successful because of the way they treat their customers, their vendors, the other people in their community. And when they have a strong value system, they become attractive. They become referable. These are the kind of people that you tell others about because people get two values. One is the products or services that you provide them. Two, it's the way they feel about themselves because they do business with you. So values and mission and vision are the three long-term elements of a plan that must be put in place. So, for example, we can think of a company like McDonald's. Their vision is to dominate the global food service industry. Mm-hmm. Or we can think about Apple. They're committed to bring the best personal computing products and support to students, educators, designers, scientists, engineers, business persons, and consumers in over 140 countries around the world. Every one of these companies has a vision statement, they have a mission statement, they have a value statement, and these can be short, clear, compelling, and it's not easy to do. But once you get clear about where you're going, why you're going there, and how you treat each other along the way, now you're ready to do the next three steps of your plan.
Okay, let's go then. What's number four?
Well, there's something called the greatest managed principle in the world, and it's written about by Michael LaBeouf, and he says, what gets measured gets done. So the next element is, how are we going to measure our progress? How would you like to know a formula that would allow your listeners to create jobs 7 times faster and be 756 times more profitable than their competitors?
Mm-hmm.
It's the key to building a successful business. We call it the CEO plus L formula, and here it is. Companies that obsessively focus on meeting the needs of customers, employees, owners, CEO, while developing leaders, they grow their business 4 times faster, create jobs 7 times faster, create owner equity 12 times faster, and they're 756 times more profitable than comparison companies. So, if that's the formula, we should measure those elements, especially the CEO of your business. CEO, customers, employees, and owners. Jack Welch said it this way: some people measure everything and understand nothing. The three most important things to measure are customer satisfaction, employee satisfaction, and financial performance. That's the CEO of your business. So even a small business, and especially a medium-sized or larger business, they will want to have clear measures. Are we measuring customer satisfaction, employee satisfaction, and then, of course, revenues and profits?
Excellent points. Excellent points. I love that you're these concepts, you know, are employed, as you mentioned, several of the world's largest companies use the tips and sort of the overview that you're sharing, but you're breaking it down into a way that makes it real easy for small businesses to understand. And I want to encourage everyone, when you get a chance, to make sure that you get the 1-hour plan for growth. This book is fantastic. Of course, it goes into more detail than Joe is, as we're highlighting things right now. You can go to www.1hourtoplan.com, 1hourtoplan.com, and those numbers are the numbers and not the words spelled out. So, Joe, we've got our vision, we've got our mission, we've got our values, and we've got some measurement. We need to measure things. Those are the first four things we've talked about. Let's hone in on the last two. What's the next one?
You bet. Okay, so we know where we're going. We know why we're going there. We know how we're going to treat people. and we know how we're going to measure our progress: vision, mission, values, and objectives. Now, of course, the business owner wants to ask themselves, where am I now? What are my current realities? Jim Collins said, it's not enough to have a vision. You have to face the brutal realities. You have to deal with the issues. So now, once you've identified your core issues, those become your strategies. Those are the issues that need to be addressed to get you from where you are to where you want to go. For example, I just got done this morning, coincidentally, working with a company on a plan, and they use the, you know, onehourtoplan.com, and they, you know, have copies of the one-hour plan for growth, and they were able to develop a plan in about an hour, which to me makes it a lot more palatable for your business owners. But the area that they would spend more time on, and that we will spend more time on, is this next area, because it's the most important part of your plan. It's how you're going to get from here to there. I mentioned earlier that 220 management practices that have been recommended, and how only 8 really matter. Well, the number one that really matters is you have to have a clear, well-defined strategy, and that's what we're talking about now. How are we going to climb the mountain? What path are we going to take? What's the work that needs to be done? And I found this to be so liberating for business owners. I'm certain it will be for your listeners, is that they're able to say, okay, what are the strategic categories where work could be done? And let me identify those, and there's 8 categories. And in those 8 categories of work to be done, let me identify specifically what I need to do, or what we as a team need to do, so that we can get from here to there. And when people get absolutely clear about their strategies, it makes it so easy for them to make day-to-day decisions. And frankly, most people just make this too complicated, and we found it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't take long to write strategies that literally a sentence or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 have the power to change the future of your business if you write the right strategy.
So, Joe, is the current realities question, that is sort of number 5, is that that's separate from the strategy in some respect, which is number 6? And I know there's a lot of overlap here, but I'm just trying to sort of, you know, separate it a bit for organizational purposes. 5 is your current realities and assessing them, and 6 is having a clear, well-defined strategy?
Yeah, it's actually the 6 elements of the plan. The 5th element would be your strategies. And what you hit it right when you said that your current realities really drive your strategies. So
okay.
Let's back up just a minute. So when a person is planning, they really say, where are we going? Vision, mission, values, objectives. Where are we now? Our current realities. And then how are we going to get from here to there, which are the next 2 parts of the plan? Strategies, which are the big categories of work. And then that's number 5. And then number 6, who needs to do what by when in order for us to actually get there? So the last 2 elements, I'm sorry if I was a little confusing, 5 and 6 would be, let's write some strategies, and then let's identify the priorities, who's going to do what by when to make it happen.
Excellent. That breaks it down so nicely. I want to focus, if we could, Joe, for a second on the current realities. I see a lot of my indies, my small business owners, really sort of struggling a little bit in this area because the current realities are, they're sometimes a little bit, they're sometimes just a little bit disappointing when you're starting a business today. The economy is a challenge, or even just growing an existing one. The economy, we know it's a little bit challenging. I definitely am not a person who subscribes to the belief that you can't be successful in this economy. I think quite the opposite. But for people who may not be seasoned in business and may not know or may not have experienced success in business despite a challenging economy, what are some of your tips for assessing the current realities in ways that, you know, allow us to sort of avoid all the bad news and really focus in on the positive things that are going on right now?
Yeah, good question. There's the current realities, you know, and the brutal realities sometimes really are, you know, there's 2 sets of issues. One, what's going on outside your business, which is the business environment and the competition, and the other, what's going on inside your business, which is your own, the unique strengths and weaknesses of your team. So internally you have strengths and weaknesses, externally you have opportunities and threats, and what people need to do is focus on those things that they can do something about and not get hung up on those things that they don't have any control of. This may be the best time to start a business, you know, in the next, you know, in this 10-year period we're in. There are many businesses that are just not making it, and it's creating a lot of opportunities for new business who can really develop a very clear mission statement and a clear value proposition of what they're going to do for their customers, and then develop a plan and execute that plan. I'm with you. There's plenty of businesses that I know right now. This one I was with this morning, their plan is to double their business in 5 years and double it again in 5 years after that. That would require 15% of your growth, and they are very confident that that can be done in this environment because they are focusing on what they can do, what they can do something about instead of what they can't do something about.
Now, Joe, if we get your book, The 1-Hour Plan for Growth, How a Single Sheet of Paper Can Take Your Business to the Next Level, can we really rely on your advice in this book and get the core of what we need on a single sheet of paper?
Well, let me give you an example. I had my accountant test this as we were writing the book. So in 57 minutes, my accountant was able to write a vision, mission, values, his measures or objectives. He was able to identify a handful of issues that needed to be addressed. He was able to write his one most important strategy in a single sentence, the work that led him to two specific action items that he had to do immediately, and he got all that done in 57 minutes.
So this really sort of brings us full circle to the point we made at the beginning, which is the distractions, the everything coming at you, you know, makes it hard to pull yourself away. But once you do, and once you're committed to that kind of focus, you're saying that no matter what business you have, no matter where you are in your business, where you're just starting or you've been around for a while, you can maximize that time to focus on these 6 points and really drive things forward.
That's right. Yeah, I've never seen a business that couldn't develop a business growth plan that fits on a single sheet of paper. You know, the problem is most planning takes too long. It's no fun. It costs too much money. They often end up with very long documents that sit on a shelf, and they have little impact on business performance. We think there's a better way. Invest about an hour. Have some fun. The book is less than $20. I mean, right now I think it's available at Amazon.com, for example, for $13.47. Create a plan that fits on a single sheet of paper and use that plan to grow your business, create some jobs, produce some profits, improve the quality of your life. Business isn't easy, but it doesn't have to be as complicated as most people make it.
Excellent point. And I will tell you, my listeners, I have gone through this book. I haven't read the whole thing, but I have gone through it. I read the first couple of chapters and also the foreword by Stephen R. Covey. What better endorsement do you need than that? Joe Calhoun, thank you so much for joining. Everyone, check him out at www.onehourtoplan.com, using the numbers instead of the words, onehourtoplan.com. And also Joe Calhoun, CALHOON.com, JoeCalhoun.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be checking you out, Joe, in the months to come and get this book and get our businesses going off to a fantastic start in 2011. Next week, right here on Indie Business Podcast, Mary Beth Mattingly, PhD, will share with us her thoughts based on some studies. We're going to be talking about wives as the new breadwinners. Can't wait for that. We're going to be talking about the changing gender roles in the family, workplace equity, and work-family balance. Check it out right here next week on Indie Business Podcast. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.